Japan's only licensed stablecoin exchange offers 10% APY on USDC. Japan's only licensed stablecoin exchange has launched a yield product paying 10% APY on USDC, with deposits and withdrawals routed through local Japanese bank rails. The announcement came via the exchange's own social channels on May 3, 2026. As of that date, BTC trades at $78,292 and ETH at 2303, with the Crypto Fear and Greed Index sitting at 44, neutral, per coin market cap. The structure is simple on its face. Hold USDC at the exchange, earn yield, and honor off-ramp through a domestic bank account rather than an offshore wire. For Japanese retail users, that bank rail piece is the part that matters most. Yen savings deposits at the country's megabanks still pay close to zero, and most offshore stablecoin yields are not legally accessible without going through a foreign venue. Why a licensed venue changes the math: Japan was one of the first jurisdictions to write a specific stablecoin law into its banking framework. The Payment Services Act amendments that took effect in 2023 carved out a separate license category for stablecoin issuers and intermediaries. That regime is restrictive on purpose. It caps who can issue, who can custody, and how funds must be segregated. The practical result is that very few firms hold the relevant license, and the ones that do can offer products that would be illegal for unlicensed competitors. A 10% USDC yield from a licensed venue is not the same product as a 10% yield on an offshore exchange, even if the headline number matches. The license carries reporting duties, segregation rules, and direct supervision by the financial services agency. For users in Japan, this is the first time a domestic regulated counterparty has put a double-digit dollar-denominated yield in front of retail. That alone is the news. Where the 10% likely comes from, the exchange has not published a full breakdown of how the yield is sourced, and we will not invent one. What is publicly verifiable? Licensed Japanese stablecoin operators must hold reserves in conservative instruments under FSA rules, which constrains how much yield can come from the float itself. That leaves a few candidates for the rest of the spread. Lending USDC into institutional credit desks is one. Routing into tokenized U.S. Treasury products is another. A subsidized launch promotion, where the operator eats part of the cost to win deposits early, is a third. Until the exchange discloses the source, treat the 10% as a headline number and not a steady state rate. Readers comparing this to other stablecoin spending and yield options should note that promotional rates rarely survive a year unchanged. What this signals about Japan's stablecoin track. Japan's stablecoin policy has moved in a different direction than the United States, where U.S. lawmakers are still arguing over whether stablecoin reserves can pay yield to holders. The Senate's Clarity Act compromise explicitly bans yield on reserves. Japan went the other way. License a small number of operators, supervise them tightly, and let the market do the rest. The result is a narrower field of legal venues with more product latitude. SBI Holdings is in talks to acquire Bitbank. Rakuten is letting its 44 million pay users swap loyalty points for XRP. And JPX is targeting a 2027 launch for spot Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs. A licensed yield product fits into that pattern. Domestic firms are building inside the rules rather than around them. Whether the 10% rate holds is a separate question. The structural point is that a Japanese retail user can now access regulated dollar yield without leaving the domestic banking system. Risks worth naming: USDC itself is not yen. A user funding the product moves from yen exposure to dollar exposure, and the JPY USD rate can move several percent in a quarter. A 10% yield in dollars can become a flat or negative yield in yen if the dollar weakens against the yen over the holding period. The yield itself is also not guaranteed. Even at a licensed venue, returns above the risk-free rate require taking some form of credit, duration, or counterparty risk. A licensed wrapper does not make those risks disappear. It makes them disclosed. Finally, promotional rates compress. If the 10% is partially subsidized, the steady-state rate after the launch window will probably be lower. Anyone making a multi-year plan around a launch APY should price in that compression.